Well, it's good to be here today. It's always good to be here on the Lord's Day. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 15. We do want to continue to remember Sister Wells in prayer and Lee Kiver. Some improvement on his part, but he still is in need of our prayers, so I want to continue to remember them. And, of course, then remember Robin Brown and Becky Ray, those with cancer. There are several brethren from our churches that I know that are dealing with physical issues in their life right now, and so I try to remember them in prayer as well. If they come to your mind, pray for them. Ought to always be praying for those in the Lord's churches across the world, particularly in the United States and across the other parts of the world. This morning we want to read verses 10 through 20. Is these verses are actually kind of a pause between verses 1 through 9 to these verses, but it continues to deal with similarly what began in this chapter and about eating and about eating with unwashed hands. In verse 10 we read, "And he called," that is Jesus, "called the multitude and said unto them, Hear ye and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." If you want to call this a sermon, a teaching, a discourse by the Lord, whatever, we have a serious introduction here in verse 10. And Jesus, after reproving the Pharisees, verses 1 through 9, and saying what he had to say to them about the issue of the tradition of the elders versus the commandments of God, He turns to the multitude. You can see the scene. Wherever Jesus went, there was a multitude that gathered. The Pharisees and scribes have come to him from Jerusalem. He's not going to go to Jerusalem to where they're at. They're going to come to him and they're going to oppose him. That was their business. Their business was to oppose the Lord Jesus Christ. So there was a multitude of people. The Pharisees accused his disciples. And he defended them. He defended them with truth. He defended them with the Word of God. Amen. And now he turns to the multitude. He called the multitude. He summons to the multitude. He wants them to hear what he has to say. The multitude would probably be more apt to listen. The Pharisees, well, he knew they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't heed his words. They were against him. They rebelled at his teaching. The multitude, however, they were responsive. The multitude, they followed him to listen to his teaching and to be healed of their diseases. We don't find opposition from the multitude like we do from the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus turned from the scribes and the Pharisees, for they were rebellious and unteachable. We don't need this. I mean, they were proud and egotistical. They were religious. We're teachers of the God, of the law which God gave to Moses and Mount Sinai and the prophets. And Jesus turns from them, from the scribes and the Pharisees, and he embraces. Who did he embrace? He embraced those that the Pharisees looked down on. Those that the Pharisees despised. Those that the Pharisees said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. That's the ones the Pharisees had reference to. They looked down on them. They scorned them. They ridiculed them. And he is embracing those very folks. Those ones that the Pharisees scorned and ridiculed. He said unto them, hear and understand. Why did he say that? Why did he say that? Because what he was about to say, what he was about to teach, what he was about to preach, was very important. And it was very important that they hear and that they understand, that they give attention to, and that they give great consideration to it, that they weigh his words. It was important that all hear and that they understand. It's important that they hear the words of Jesus. It's important that they hear the word That's important for you and I. That we hear the words of Jesus. It's important for you and I that we hear the Word. If it wasn't important, God wouldn't have left it for us. God wouldn't have preserved it for us. All these 2,000 years. And longer. Because the 39 books of the Old Testament are just as much a part of His Word as the 27 books of the New Testament are. And He's preserved it all this time. It has withstood the onslaughts of Satan and Satan and his endeavors to do away with it. Seems as though there's even a great onslaught today. Last time I was in a bookstore, used to be you go into a bookstore and you find all these Bibles in here, and the majority of them were KJV.
Yes.
Now you have to hunt and hunt and hunt to find a KJV. Because there are every other kind of version you want. But not the KJV. Well, that's another subject. It's important that we hear the Word of God. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of the Psalms in chapter 119. 119 and 104. And this is what David said. In verse 104 he said, "Through thy precepts, through thy word, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." But in other words, by getting understanding from the word, he hates that those things which are contrary to God. Proverbs chapter 2. Book of Proverbs chapter 2. In verse 6. "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Listen, it's out of the Word of God that we get knowledge and understanding and thereby get wisdom. And you understand in the book of the Proverbs, wisdom there is Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ. And it's in this that we find Jesus Christ. You want to know about Jesus Christ? You want to see Jesus Christ? Turn to the book. Turn to the book. And the book will reveal Jesus Christ to you. Second of all, we have a mandate of the truth. It's not falsehood. It's not traditions of the elders. It's not precepts that were handed down by man. But we have the Word of God. We have a mandate from the truth. In verse 11. "The truth is laid down to us in two considerations, which seem to be contrary to Jewish teachings." Get that in your mind. You can just imagine. These were Jews that Jesus was. He came unto His own. He came unto Israel. He came unto the Jew. These were those that He was speaking with. Those that He was dealing with in the land of Israel. They were Jews. First of all, that which goes into the mouth does not make you unclean. That's what He said. "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man." It doesn't make you unclean. As we said last week, might not be a safe practice. greet one with unwashed hands, but it's not going to make you a vile, wicked person. It is not the kind of quality of food, nor the cleanliness of our hands, that changes the soul. Or the heart. The deep-seated emotions of a man. It's not the food we eat. It's not the drink that we drink. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 and Paul in his epistle to the Romans there is dealing with the issue of food and drink. And the stronger brother receiving the weaker brother and so forth. And dealing with that, and dealing with the observance of days and holidays, holy days. And therefore, he says in verse 17, he said, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." Well, what is the kingdom of God, Paul? What is the kingdom of God if it's not meat and drink? Well, if you were a Jew, wouldn't you ask that question? I mean, we're going to get into the Jewish economy. But you just think about what you know about the Jew and about what God had commanded them in the Old Testament. It's not about eat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Holy Spirit leads you into righteousness and into peace and joy. You see, the Old Testament law set a difference between the holy and unholy, between the clean and the unclean. But the Pharisees carried the practice much further than the law intended by their adding to it. Last week's message, the tradition of the elders was a precept handed down by the elders. Well, you have to wash your hands before you eat. That was in addition to what God commanded concerning the clean and the unclean. That which comes out of the mouth, he said. That's what defiles a man. In other words, what comes out of your mouth reveals that you are defiled. That you are a vile, wicked person. That you're an unclean person. He actually said in this verse, "But that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." We're not rendered unclean before God by the meat we eat or the drink we drink. We're not rendered undefiled before God, unclean before God, because we've eaten with unwashed hands. See what Jesus is dealing with, you're standing before God. That's what the Old Testament law and economy was to show them. That there, with God, there is a difference. Concerning the speech, we dealt with this a while back in the 12th chapter. Where Jesus said in verse 36, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Remember what that is? In other words, by your words, you show that you have you're forgiven of your sins, and by your words, you show that you're condemned. That you never have been received forgiveness of sins. You're not changed. You reveal by your words that you're an unclean, you're a vile, wicked person. You don't have a standing before God of righteousness. You're standing before God as one of uncleanness. You see, what we read here in chapter 12 and verses 36 and 37 was a reproof of those that opposed Christ. But in our text today, what we read here is those that opposed and censored His disciples. I mean, they attacked Jesus and they attacked His disciples. What does that say to us today? If they attacked our Lord and Savior, if they hated Him, if they sought to put Him to death, what does that say about you and I, who are disciples of the Lord? Well, if we're true followers, if we're truly following Him, that which is coming forth out of our mouth portrays that. And not just our mouth, but in all of our actions portrays that. They're going to hate us. You get out here on the streets and you start witnessing to people and you start telling them that they're sinners and that they need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to repent of their sins toward God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Apostle Paul did. And you'll find out. They'll hate you. They'll despise you. Maybe that's why we don't do more of it, huh? Well, verse 12, we're presented with a third thing in this sermon, the offense. The disciples came to Jesus and said, do you know that the Pharisees were offended at your words? What did they give offense to? Well, I don't imagine they liked the fact that Jesus cut down their tradition of the elders. And telling them they were disobeying the commands of God by observing the traditions of their elders. That's what Jesus told them last week, right? They were disobeying the commandment of God by observing the tradition of the elders. He called their worship vain. Vain and idle worship. He said, you draw near to me with your mouth and your lips, but your heart is far from me. Amen. It's not with me. He said, but in vain they do worship me and teach for doctrine, traditions, and the commandments of men. Well, this was nothing new. And nothing new that they were offended at what Jesus said, was it? It wasn't strange that the Pharisees would be displeased with the truth. After all, they were great champions of the practice of religion. But they didn't like the substance of it. They didn't like the real meat of it. In fact, they were kind of weak on that, weren't they? Didn't know much about it. After all, they were opposed to Jesus from the beginning of His ministry. I mean, right from the beginning, in the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 20, you see, Jesus exposed them. He exposed them, their sin. He exposed their pride, their arrogancy, their self-righteousness. In fact, he told the disciples, those that were gathered around in a sermon on the mount, that except your righteousness, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you need something better than man's righteousness. That's all the Pharisee had, Jesus said, was man's righteousness. Well, in this statement, the disciples obviously thought it was strange. They thought it strange that Jesus would say knowingly that which would offend the Pharisees. He wouldn't intentionally do that, would he? He wouldn't do it knowingly. Jesus intended to say what he said,
yes, amen.
Even knowing that it would anger some. Isn't that the truth of God's Word?
Amen.
When you proclaim the truth of God's Word, it angers some folks.
Amen.
In fact, it's going to anger the majority of folks, but Jesus' practice said what? Jesus' practice simply said they must know the truth. They must know the truth. Man must confront the underlying issue. He must confront and come to realize that a change is needed. That he in his present condition is not clean. Romans chapter 3 verse 10 begins, there is none righteous, no, not one. From a quote from the Old Testament. It goes on there to show just the vile and the wickedness, deals with the throat being an open sepulchre, the mouth being full of cursing and bitterness. On it goes down through verse 18. The verse preceding verse 10 says, and verse 9 says that whether Jew or Gentile, Jew, whether Jew or the rest of the world, have all sinned. And it repeats again in verse 23 of that third chapter of the book of Romans. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man needs to know that. Man needs to know the truth. That he's a sinner. He needs a change. Those Pharisees needed to know it just as much as the rest of the multitude. However, the majority of the multitude received it. The Pharisees and scribes didn't receive it. Then he goes on, begins to talk in verse 13. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. So we have, for our fourth point, in this sermon of Jesus, we have the planted. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Not every plant is planted by the Father. You say, well, I thought God was the creator of all men. He is the creator of all men. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about being planted in the kingdom. He's talking about being planted in the family of God. Not every plant is planted by the Father. Not everyone is given to the Son. Turn with me to the book of John. The book of John in chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You see, while the scribes and the Pharisees came to Jesus, they came to oppose him. They didn't come to him in faith believing, but the multitude came to hear his teaching and to be healed. You see. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father planteth shall come to me. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Verse 39. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. In other words, that which the Heavenly Father hath planted is going to be planted.
Amen.
It's not going to be rooted up. But that which the Heavenly Father has not planted is going to be rooted up. He said. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Men don't like to hear this today. Men didn't like to hear it in Paul's day. That's why they turned from the Jews to the Gentiles in this 13th chapter of the book of Acts. In verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, as many as were planted by the Heavenly Father, they believed.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God. He's planted some. Listen, I don't have a problem. I just praise God that He planted me. And I praise God that He planted some. He didn't have to plant any. He didn't have to plant any. But He did. But He did. Everyone not planted by the Father shall be pulled out by the roots. That's what that means. Mm-hmm. Shall be pulled out by the roots. Those not appointed to the eternal life. Those that are not chosen, not given to the Son. They shall be rooted out to eternal destruction. Sometimes we get in our churches. We find those have gotten in. They're not planted by the Father. We have an example of that in the book of 1 John, chapter 2. John talks about that. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And after that discourse about the world, he goes on and he says, Now, my little children, my sons, Antichrist are already here. That is Antichrist. They're against Christ. In our text, they're there. Scribes and Pharisees were Antichrist. They were there. And in verse 19, it says, they went out from us to manifest that they were not of us. In other words, they had, in keeping with that context, now there's a secondary application, but in keeping with that context, to manifest that they had not eternal life, that they were of the world. They were not sons of God. And that's why they went out. That's why they didn't continue. Why they tarried not. There are those that are of the spirit of the Pharisees. They're proud. They're strict concerning external appearances. But inwardly, they are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. What Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 23. Book of Matthew, chapter 23, and verse 27, concerning the Pharisees. He said in chapter 23 and verse 27, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Anyone who's in that condition, anyone who's in his natural state, is full of pride, is full of arrogancy, is full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Those not of God's planting shall not have the protection of God, but shall be rooted up. And their ruin is described for us in verse 14. Jesus said to his apostles, to his disciples who responded to him, that the Pharisees were offended at what you had to say. Jesus said, "Let them alone," after telling them that my Father has not planted everyone. Those that he hasn't planted shall be rooted up. He said, "Let them alone. Don't trouble yourselves because they are offended at the truth." You and I, don't be offended because men will not receive the truth. It is our job as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is our job to tell them.
Amen.
To tell them the truth. To tell them the word. But don't trouble yourselves. Don't trouble yourselves. Let them alone. Don't trouble yourselves when they get offended. Don't trouble yourselves when they get angry at you. Do not seek to please them. First Thessalonians. It's what is the Thessalonians are being instructed concerning here in the book of First Thessalonians in chapter 2. And in verse 15, in the verse preceding that, it said there were some of their own countrymen who troubled them, and even as the Jews did the Lord Jesus Christ, he said in verse 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. Don't think it strange. Don't trouble yourselves that they oppose God.
Amen.
They put the Lord Jesus Christ to death. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 15. They've hated me. Don't think it's strange that they hate you. They hated me first.
Amen.
He said, went on to say, they'd be blind leaders of the blind. That is both the leaders and those that they were leading. They're both blind. That's what he said. They're ignorant of the things of God. Neither can they know them. That's the state of every man without Christ. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That is, because they're only discerned by the Spirit of God. And they have not the Spirit of God, so they can't understand them. They don't have the capacity to understand them. You and I only understand them because the Holy Spirit quickened us.
Amen. Amen.
Made us alive. Gave us understanding. They have no perception of their sin. And it's that both shall fall into the pit, into the ditch. Both shall plunge into destruction. The word there, ditch is literally pit. They shall fall into the pit of eternal damnation. That's their end. That's their plight.
Amen.
And it's the plight of everyone that the Heavenly Father hath not planted. The fifth point, the exposition, which is in verses 15 through 20. Peter said, if you read this account in the book of Mark, said the disciples said, they wanted him to declare unto them this parable. You see, they thought it was a parable. Well, Jesus didn't call it a parable. The writer, Matthew, didn't call it a parable when he was writing about it. But they wanted further instruction concerning what Jesus had said. They had a desire. They had a desire to better understand. You know, there's things in the Word of God, I believe, but I lack deeper understanding. I believe it because the Word of God says it. But don't ask me to expound on it. Because some things I can't. I just have to read to you what the Word of God says. And leave it there. And the apostles here were wanting deeper instruction. They had a desire to understand better. And they had a desire to understand what? Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. You got to understand, they were Jews.
Yeah.
They're saved. Now followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't have perfect understanding. They were trying to reconcile things. They were trying to reconcile, okay, this is Christianity, but Judaism this. And so they wanted further understanding. It seemed to puzzle them. You see? Because it was contrary to the law of God concerning making a difference of clean and unclean. We have these animals that are clean, we have these animals that are unclean, and it seems to us that what you eat, you become unclean. What you touch, you become unclean. You see, they were having trouble reconciling what he was saying. They wanted to better understand. Well, we find in verse 16, Jesus reproves them. He says, "Are ye yet without understanding? Don't you understand?" They were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had continued with him a long time. They had been with him at every teaching, every revival service, every evangelistic endeavor. They had been with him. They had heard his teaching. They had been there at the Sermon on the Mount. Don't you understand? Are you yet like the scribes and the Pharisees? Without understanding? Well, Jesus gives them the explanation. Verses 17 to 20 is pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty straightforward, isn't it? But oh, only if you and I could learn this. If only you and I could fully understand this principle. You must understand. You need to understand. That which goeth into the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the waste. You understand that? Pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Amen.
That which flows from the mouth comes out of the heart and reveals that a man is defiled. What he said in verse 18.
Amen.
Reveals that you are defiled. In Psalms chapter 5 and in verse 9. Psalms the 5th chapter. In verse 9. Where we read, "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth." This is the enemies of David. The unsaved. The natural man. "There is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness." You see what he said? There's no faithfulness in their mouth. In other words, what comes out of their mouth is revealing that their inward parts are very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. They're wicked.
Amen.
Because they're wicked, that which comes out of their mouth is wickedness. Surely you understand that from this corrupt heart comes corrupt behavior.
Amen.
Verse 19. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Anything you eat is not going to cause you to have evil thoughts. It might cause you to have bad dreams at night. But anything you eat is not going to cause you to have evil thoughts. It's not going to cause you to be a murderer. It's not going to cause you to be an adulterer, a fornicator. It's not going to cause you to go out and steal. You see, you do those things because you have a corrupt heart. That's what Jesus was saying. Verse 20, "You must know that these things are filthy. They're moral defilement. And they reveal what is in a man. Whether he's unclean or whether he's clean." not by what he eats and drinks. Unwashed hands have nothing to do with what is in man. Will not bring forth evil thoughts, will not bring forth murders, etc. Have you a new heart? Have you been changed? Have you been planted by the Heavenly Father? Shall we stand and have a song in closing?